Hey, we're live, pal. We just got a visit. Andrew Zarian is here. We just got a visit from a young Zarian right before this show started. So I'm in a good mood. Got to see the young Zarian.
The youngest Zarian. You met him when you were here, right?
Yes.
You saw the kids,
yes, for
a
short
yeah.
time. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, when you came by the studio. That was fun that day.
Love the kids, though. So, but tell me about the trick-or-treating. Like, how was it? I got five total trick-or-treaters the entire night.
So this is a new thing, right? Like when we were growing up, you're a little older than me, but it was the same. When we were growing up, we would go trick-or-treating to people's homes. Nobody does that anymore.
Wow.
It's trunk-or-treat, right? That's what you do on the weekend. You do a trunk-or-treat, which is okay for the kids. And then you visit stores, which is so bizarre to me. Is this universally like everywhere, or is this like a New York or like a major city thing? Because like I live in the suburbs.
Yeah.
And it's still like that here. Like it's still very much like, oh, you go down like the main street and then you know, you get the candy like that. I got probably like 7-8 kids and that was it.
All right, can you hear me? Because my camera may have gone out.
Yes, for a little I see. Bit. I okay. hear you. There's a plus sign on your face.
Yeah, let's keep the camera on Andrew as I try and figure out how to restart this thing. But okay, yeah. So the scenario around here was homes. It was you know, people going to homes. But so this has been our third Halloween here, and it's I think the first one, which was, you know, right around the pandemic time, we didn't get any. So there was none. Last year, I think we had 3, and I called the over under at 4.5 yesterday, and it was 4.5. So it was 5.
Wow.
So that's what it was. All right.
You know what's funny? My mother-in-law went through like 220 bags in like an hour and a half. And she lives in Long Island. So I mean, I guess it is like a New York thing, which I hate. I hate that. I want people coming to the house.
That is amazing. 200?
Yeah, 200. 200 bags she went through.
I can't even imagine, like, just based on us trying to figure out if we could get enough candy for the kids, like, I would have just assumed, okay, well, one bag. If we got more than that, we would have been done for, man. That's crazy. all right, so we might as well talk about some wrestling as my camera did make a comeback. Well, hopefully it sticks
around.
Hey,
I got to ask you something. Dave messed up the room already?
Yeah, that would be crazy. That would be like a world record if that room went back to what it was. But speaking of Dave, I'm actually glad you went there, because you are somebody who has been doing video podcasts for years and years and years now, even before it was like trendy to do video stuff.
2008.
What do you think about Dave, the new Logan Paul of F4W, the video stuff?
I love it, man. I think it's great. Listen, I genuinely like this is so weird doing the shows for F4W for me and doing, you know, obviously Wrestling Observer Live, because like I'm a fan of the product. So as someone that grew up, you know, a 20-year-long fan of Dave's and Brian's, I think that's awesome. And it's a different perspective. I thought it was great when they started doing more shows. I think the Saturday show with you and Dave is fantastic. I look forward to genuinely. And I'm saying that, you know, not like a friend like kissing your butt, but I genuinely love the show. I think it's great. It's a great addition. I think people want to see Dave. The show has been a lot better because you're actually engaging and you're seeing each other rather than, you know, just hearing each other. I think it's a great it's changed the show, in my opinion.
And look, you know, I think people could have seen the progression here, bringing Matt Men to this channel, bringing Denise to this channel. You all are video focused first, and audio, not that the audio show isn't good, but it is a video focused show. And then this show, right? This show is also a video focused show. So that was sort of the trend with the channel. And to finally get Dave online, which was, you know, it was an event. But I think it's just great for the website. It's great for this channel. It's great for subscribers. So I love to see it. And, you know, Dave, I think is very engaged. Like he really enjoys it, which is, you know, the big thing, too.
Are they doing a show earlier or are they doing it still at like 2-3 in the morning?
I think it's been like 11:30-ish time frame, which is early for them. Poor not Houseman. For you. You're in bed by then, but yeah. For
poor
them,
Nick maybe. Houseman in Chicago had to do that show last night.
But did you hear him?
Right, I did.
He was jazzed up, man. That guy had more energy than anybody.
Listen, I think he was excited to be there with Dave, you know? At the end of the day, absolutely. We all grew up. You know, by the way, Nick is very good at what he does. I'm not making him seem like he was starstruck, but, you know, it's exciting when you do your show with Dave. And same for me. Whenever he comes on, I'm excited to have him. And I have like 5,000 questions for Dave. You know, I want to just sit there and ask him every... Dave, so what happened really in Montreal? You know?
Yeah. Were there two Ultimate Warriors, Dave?
Were there two Ultimate Warriors, Dave? Can you confirm this? 8-year-old Andrew Zarian needs to know.
All right. So there's some news. There's actually some news that we probably have to talk about, which just dropped earlier today. I started hearing this last night that there were rumors of some NXT cuts that were happening. And the release came out today. PW Insider reported 5 names were released. We'll start from, I'll end with the one that I was very surprised about, but Ru Feng, Demarius Griffin, Erica Yan, Sloane Jacobs, and the one that surprised me was Bodhi Hayward. And I have been very, I've said this on this show, I don't watch NXT anymore because that show was frustrating me, not only from a creative standpoint, but for other reasons. But I thought Bodhi Hayward was actually getting a lot better, and he had so much charisma, and they were doing some fun stuff with the Chase University with him. So that
good
one
body
surprised
on him, good
me.
Size, you know.
Well, I mean, he looks like before he was Stone Cold Steve Austin, but he looks like Stunning Steve Austin from like 1990, like just visually. Now he's not as thick. Yeah. Austin was always more of like a football player build, but that's who he reminded me of, like just visually. And I thought, you know, that crowd loved him. So that was a surprise. But I guess somebody said on Wrestling Observer Live, Brian reported that maybe there was some instances as to why they cut him. But obviously, you know, with this kind of stuff, they could always bring him back if they wanted. Now, playing slightly, I guess, from a different perspective here, and this is what I really wanted to ask you. Since Triple H has come on, they've added talent, brought back Braun Strowman. We just saw it on Friday. Emma, of all people, that was pretty surprising to me. I didn't know if she was going to be on their radar. But yeah, Triple
H is so disappointed she's not doing the Emelina gimmick, right?
We're all looking
forward
and stuff.
To the Emelina, the bubbles.
but so the you know, just to the fan base, it really likes this because they get to see, oh, you know, maybe there's going to be more people coming back. Dexter Lumis, all these people. But I wonder to the street if that is actually a negative because they know it's a cost. And thus, I wonder if these 5 cuts at NXT were more so to tell the street, like, hey, we're not only adding, like, we're still being really responsible with our budget here. I don't know if it's that big of a deal. Obviously, to us, we're like, oh, these NXT folks don't make a lot of money. But I don't know what that means to, you know, people who are because the WWE investors call is it tomorrow?
Tomorrow, I believe. Right.
Yeah. So I wonder if that was like a visual thing for the call more so than it was that they necessarily needed to cut these people, because to cut them the day before, I don't know, it's kind of weird.
It is kind of weird. I'm all for a theory, but I reached out and I asked them and they said, oh, no, this is part of the standard. You know, they assess their developmental talent more often now because they have so much more younger talent there.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, I don't know the exact reasons, but I, you know, generally it's OK, we're moving on and come back in 6 months and let's see if we could do it again or whatever, you know, whatever their protocol is when they release someone. But couple of these names, yeah, Bodhi surprised me because he obviously has the look that they want, but you know, it's a new company. I mean, it's under new leadership, so I would imagine this is still their standard, releasing people every X amount of months after an evaluation. But I mean, your point that's interesting too, right?
I mean, I think it to most people, you know, I'd actually I wonder what Brandon Thurston thinks about it, but it just seems like a little too convenient, right? It's like, oh yeah, they have a business call tomorrow, so these, you know, these cuts happening right before seems to be interesting timing. But that, you know, that will be that business call will be very interesting tomorrow. I wonder how that's going to go. I mean, I'm sure it's going to be very positive, like they're a money making machine. But just, you know, as we go further away from Vince McMahon being a part of this thing, that's more so what my interest is. Like, do they believe that this triumvirate of Nick Khan and Triple H and Stephanie are the right folks to lead this company? And, you know, I think they're doing a pretty good job, because at least from the wrestling perspective, Triple H is a giant babyface to most fans here. And, you know, I think some of it is smoke and mirrors, but, you know, it seems like people are enjoying the product, which is, you know, probably the most important thing, or second most important thing to making money.
Yeah. At the end of the day, isn't that all that matters? People thinking it's a better show, then it becomes a better show. You know, you know what I'm curious about, though, Garrett? And this is a great question for the audience, too. If this was still a Vince McMahon WWE, how would we be reacting to the television show that we're getting on Mondays, especially Mondays, right? Mondays and Sundays, but Fridays, but definitely Monday. How would the reaction to Raw be? Would the reaction be, wow, my gosh, they've turned it around? Or would it still be, oh, this is the same old, you know? A fresh coat of paint on the same house sometimes goes a long way.
Yeah, I think I lean a little bit more towards I don't lean towards it's the same. What I lean towards is that Triple H has been very smart to undo unpopular things that Vince did. Because if you are trying to appease the fan base, bringing back somebody like, well, actually, it's not even Bray and Braun, because I think the fans were probably thought those guys were a little long in the tooth, but just certain folks who maybe some of the fan base was like, oh, it's unfortunate that they got released. Why did they get released? What did they do wrong? And Triple H is kind of undoing, you know, you have the undo on your keyboard. You know, he's just hitting Command Z on what Vince, you know, has done.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, I'm going back to your favorite word. The optics of the situation is that Triple H is bringing back people who maybe shouldn't have gone in the first place. And if you make Vince the bad guy and you can come in as the babyface, I think that makes the optics of the situation, you know, even more, he comes across as more relatable, because it seems like he's listening and he's watching. Whereas Vince just seemed like, I'm just going to do whatever I want. I don't care what anybody thinks.
Yeah. You know, I agree with you. We still have not seen the WWE post Vince McMahon. A lot of the stuff that we're seeing still is Vince's, you know, kind of structure and layout that he had in place. So, you know, but now we're starting to see a little bit of the difference, right? Braun Strowman coming back. That was obviously an addition here. We've Johnny Gargano coming back. That's an addition, and that's a change in the creative. But I think guys like Roman, you know, that's still the big story here. And are we getting a Vince McMahon plan with the Roman Reigns stuff? Because it's been perfect. I mean, really, and we'll talk about Friday, because I thought that opening segment was fantastic. But the Roman stuff?
Let's talk about that for sure, because that was so much fun. Yeah. But you know, I didn't mean to cut you off. We're gonna circle back to it, because I want to use that, and we'll talk about the show this weekend, which is which we'll end the show on. But continue to go ahead, because we're gonna move to AEW for a second.
Yeah, like the Roman stuff, you know, is that a Vince McMahon project? Right? Is the creative that we're getting of Vince McMahon? I mean, obviously, you know that Paul Heyman's very heavily involved in that stuff, so you're going to get a little bit of a different plan. But how much has that changed? Because that's something that I've asked, and nobody's really going to tell me that. But how much of the Roman stuff has shifted? Because it's still fantastic.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. And that is, like, who knows really what Vince's plan was, right? We do know what Vince's plan was to get to The Rock at WrestleMania. Who knows if the belt was going to be involved? Maybe it wasn't. But that was sort of the long game plan. And now there's options, right? Not saying that CM Punk is going to main event WrestleMania, but that, he may not even be ready by, but that's also now sort of
course,
an opportunity that didn't exist. And maybe with Vince McMahon out of the picture, maybe that enables it to happen more so than him. Though, from what I remember, he didn't seem to be too fond of one Triple H either. But yeah, that's why I'm so excited for Survivor Series, not because I expect it to be a great show, but it is really that wrinkle that Triple H is adding with the War Games stuff, right? Like, we know that was not what Vince wanted. Vince was anti-War Games.
Vince was like cursing. Or do you think Vince was like, God damn it, Hunter, with this War Games crap? You know, because he never wanted War Games. I think maybe Dave would know this. Like, wasn't Hunter pitching this for years and years? And like, Elimination Chamber was like kind of the compromise to like their War Games, you know?
I'm sure that was the story.
I love War Games. I think it's a great concept, and I think it's such a great addition to add some spice to Survivor Series. You know, they had a couple good years when they were doing the brand versus brand stuff, and you were seeing like weird combinations like Nakamura and Hunter going at it. You know, like that was great. That was fantastic stuff. But, you know, it got stale when it doesn't matter anymore. Yeah. When you no longer get these, wow, they're going to touch. You know, this is the first time. Once that's out, it's done. Now you need to restart and come up with something else.
Yes, absolutely. And there was a story. I don't know if this was true or not. I couldn't figure out who had posted this, but there was something where Triple H was saying, yeah, you know, I don't know if we're going to do the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. Was that true, or was that someone making something up? But they wanted to use that match more as like a end to a feud than as just like a standalone pay-per-view is what I read. But I couldn't verify what that information was from.
I got to read what it is, because the last couple of weeks has been chaotic in my life, but good chaos, not bad chaos. But I have heard numerous times that there are a lot of people in key positions that are very much against naming the pay-per-views after the gimmick match. And it takes away from the importance of the match, because now you have two of everything and you got three of everything. Sometimes you have, you know, sometimes the whole pay-per-view could be a cell match. You know, they've done crazy stuff, but I know for a fact that people want to reshuffle how these things work. You know, one of the concepts is, should Money in the Bank be a WrestleMania match? Should it be a pay-per-view? You know, they're trying to make Money in the Bank into a mega pay-per-view show or a PLE, but I mean, what's the right move here? I don't like the gimmick pay-per-views. I don't like the pay-per-view to be called Hell in a Cell, because you're telling me I'm going to get it more than once, right? Yeah. So it becomes a thing now all the time. But if you remove the Hell in a Cell and you make it an attraction on a random show to add some, you know, some hype to a match, I'm all for that. I never liked the pay-per-view model of being, you know, this is the Money in the Bank and this is the only time you do it, or this is a Hell in a Cell and this is the only time you do it. I kind of like the fact that you're now locked into that.
Yes, absolutely. I agree with you 100%. And it makes it seem, and this is another thing, right? Triple H is undoing something that Vince McMahon was so adamant about year after year after year, even when it didn't work, because those pay-per-view buys for these pay-per-views are just going down and down and down and down. And now, you know, we can undo some of that stuff. And that's where Triple H babyfaces himself to me, too, because I'm like, yes, that makes more logical sense than what we have previously been watching and being hit over the head with. Okay, yeah. Let's move on to AEW quickly. We'll come back to WWE because I do want to talk about the show this weekend. The show this weekend is pretty intriguing just on what some of these matches
are.
But okay, so let's talk about a little bit about AEW, because on Dynamite, we saw the little video of the Elite, and this is the first time they have been promoted since the All Out show, and this is the first sign that things are going to sort of start getting back to normal. First off, what did you think of the video? Because I was trying to come up with some ideas, like, how do you even bring these guys back when you didn't even tell us that they were gone? Like, so they're leaning into it a little bit with the little bit of the meta humor in the video. But what did you think of it? And then let's talk about after, what are some ideas in getting them back into the swing of things?
Yeah, I'm curious how they're going to do it. They haven't mentioned a thing on TV. They didn't even mention why CM Punk was no longer world champion. So if you don't follow the story, like, I'm thinking like Andrew as like a 5 year old, right? When I'm watching wrestling and I'm at SummerSlam and I see the match made in hell and the match made in heaven, right? And Ultimate Warrior runs behind the curtain and I never see him again. I had no idea what happened. So Obviously there's a portion that doesn't know what happened and they're not really looking for an explanation. They see it as it's wrestling and something changed. But a lot of people know what happened. They're going to have to address it. They already addressed some of it on that video promo, the vignette that they put out where they're disappearing, they're gone. So when they come back, are they just going to say we left and now we're back, or are they going to go into the details? I'm really curious to know, but it's funny that they got to show up like now, like this week or next week, right? To build up to a pay-per-view.
Yeah, soon, right?
I mean, how do you not put them on the pay-per-view? You have to. So it has to be like this week or next week.
Yeah, it's got to be soon. And I guess that's a little bit of my worry, because the easiest thing to do is just go, oh, you know, they lost these trios belts and they should get them back, or at least they should get a chance to get them back. And that's fine. But I almost don't feel like that's big enough for this moment. Like, when do you have an opportunity to reintroduce one of your top acts, right? Like, you have this, it's been taken away and that was bad. Now, how do we make a negative into a positive? Do we want to bring them back in a big way, or do we not? Because then if we do, we sort of have to explain what happened, and it doesn't look like Tony Khan wants to explain what happened.
Here's a scenario, right? Like, I agree with you. I don't think the trio's positioning is the right way to go, unless you're trying to kind of realign whatever, you know, put your train back on the tracks, unless that's the plan and the plan was for them to hold the title. But I mean, you could do something interesting where, you know, they win the trio's titles, Max is celebrating, and here comes Kenny to be like, hey, I want my title back. You know, you could do something like that. You need to fluff that top position. By losing Punk in that top positioning, you have a big hole. So are you going to use Kenny Omega in a trios title, or are you going to put him back in that main slot? You know, that's a big question.
Where do you sit on this thought about MJF possibly maybe turning babyface at some point? Where do you sit on this? Because there are some people who are like, I think it's interesting, especially if you want to get hot. And there are others who are just like, no way. The character works the way it does. You screw with it, it may not work as good.
That's a great question. I think he's staying heel. I think he's kind of baby facing everybody to MF them later. Like, that's how I see it.
And he's just going to take a choke slam from Morrissey as a way to fool us.
God. Yeah, I'm a little nervous on how they're going to do him. I am, because he's now, you know, I know that the story was going to be him and Punk. That was supposed to be the story. You know, Punk dropping it to Max after winning the title back after a couple of months, and then maybe Punk would have gone away for a little bit. I don't know how they would have positioned that, but, you know, is MJF a world champion right now for them? You know, do you see him as the next world champion, and what does that mean to you? He's not a guy you see wrestle on TV every week. He's never been that guy on
AEW.
He's
not like Moxley, who wrestles every week.
He's not like Moxley, which is the world champion wrestling every week. They've been very careful on how they use Max, and it's benefited them big time. But now, you know, the story is the chase. He's the guy that's kind of looming in the shadows, waiting for his shot. Now he's going to get the shot. And let's say he beats Mox. Mox goes away for a little bit. But that poor man has to take some time off. I mean, he's been this guy was supposed to take off months ago. He never got a chance. So, I mean, where do you go? Who's the challenger? Are you going back to Hangman? Are you introducing somebody else? Do you introduce Kenny in this mix? You know, I'm looking forward to post Full Gear to see how they're going into the new year, because now, listen, you got your guys back minus CM Punk. He wasn't going to be back anyway. So now this is whatever plan you would have had if he was still injured. Where do you go?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's fascinating. And then, you know, that the pay-per-view after November is supposed to be in the Bay Area. That's what we've heard.
Yeah, it's supposed to be in the Bay Area.
So what is it called? Revolution, I guess, is what it's called.
Yeah, February.
New Japan is running a show in San Jose on February the 18th, which is a Saturday. And I believe the Revolution show is going to be on a Sunday because football season will be over. And Tony likes running Sundays when they're not head-to-head football. I don't know if that means that that's the date, but it would seem to be good business with a partner to kind of have, you know, Wednesday Dynamite, Friday Rampage, Saturday New Japan, Sunday AEW pay-per-view. Kind of interesting the if that is the way that it's being set up, because, you know, you have people on AEW who also work New Japan stuff, like maybe Moxley could work a match or something on that show. But I have already told my wife, if that is the case, I'm just like taking a few days off of work. I'm just going to be gone a lot. We may maybe have a barbecue hosting people who are out here. So yeah, that's going to be like the crazy wrestling week where the Bay Area finally gets to host something.
Love it. No, I'm very curious what AEW does, because they've had, I mean, 2021, even though it was a successful year for them, you know, gross profit wise and, you know, viewership wise, we're up, what, I think like 10% year over year or whatever the number was. I feel that they need to now have a little bit of a shakeup, right? That mid card needs to be shaken up a little bit. Guys like Andrade, I mean, he's a bad example, right? Because he got into a fight. But the mid, I mean, guys like Pac, you know, that whole group of unbelievable talent, you need to elevate somebody up there to kind of change the mix on that top tier, because for the longest time, what has it been? It's been Moxley, Hangman, Kenny, Punk, Max, and then insert, you know, Jericho every now and then. So so you got to do something. You got to add somebody else if you're removing somebody. I'm curious who they elevate to that level.
Yeah, it seems like they've had some opportunities with guys like Darby, right? We've seen Darby. I mean, Darby had Punk's first match, right? That should have been the point where he just falls into that like main event slot, but that is no longer the case. We heard the same thing about Jungle Boy for years, you know, pretty much since the beginning of AEW's existence, that, you know, he was kind of, you know, we need to get him ready so he can be a main eventer. And now it's several years later.
You know, something they do really well, And like, I'm looking at this as marketing, right? Like in the eyes of a marketer, something they do really well is create a little microcosm of influence for their talent. Like Darby is a very much well-liked fan favorite, right? He is an attraction for them. People want to see Darby wrestle, but he's not in the main card. Another person would be Hook, right? On a little bit of a lower level. He is an attraction. There's something that you want to see about him. Wardlow also, up until, you know, he's kind of cooled off. So you have,
I guess you're right. He should have been the one, right? Wardlow.
He should have been the one. Yeah,
so far.
He should have been the one. But you have guys that have a larger than maybe expected following for somebody that is not in the top tier that you could easily elevate and move up. This is something that they've been able to do that WWE has been struggling in the last, I don't know, 15 years or so to create these little buzzes for these guys. They can't make the same mistake. A guy like, you know, Darby's one, Jungle Boy's one, Hook, I don't know what they're going to do with Hook now, but, you know, he's another one. But Wardlow is a great example of a guy you elevated. He got naturally over. He's very impressive. Where do you go now?
Yeah. 100%.
Give him a shot. Put him somewhere. You know, I think with the problem is, it may be interesting.
Well, the problem is, you put him up in that top level, and unless you make him the world champion, then you have to beat him. And that I think that's the hesitance there.
I
will give them credit. The Acclaim have been awesome, and they definitely got up level
in house. Yeah, and a great example, right? Naturally, organically got over in house. They didn't have the influence outside from WWE or NXT or someplace else. They really were a core. I mean, those two guys have been around in the indies for a while. You know, Northeastern wrestlers. I've seen them everywhere here. But now they are a top act. You got to keep it going.
Yep, you do. So, all right, one more thing about AEW, and then we'll switch back to WWE. They have this match with Jericho and a former ROH champion. Now, I think A lot of us are confused if it has to be a former world champion or if it could just be any champion, tag team champion, you know, whatever the other belts that you want to remember. Who do you think this possibly could be?
Jamie Noble. Former Ring of Honor world champion.
Is Jamie Noble still wrestling? Yeah.
No,
he is.
No, no.
I thought he's like, what? I don't know. I thought he's like working for WWE or something.
45 now. I don't know. You know, you have a lot of options. I mean, look at the list of former Ring of Honor. I believe it's world champions.
Okay.
So that's what I believe. I believe it's former Ring of Honor world champions. But this list is big. I mean, you're not going to do Jay Briscoe because they're not going to have him on TV, I guess, right? Eddie Edwards, Davey Richards. Two guys, you know, Jerry Lynn. I think Jerry Lynn would be a fantastic Jericho match. Former Ring of Honor world champion.
And right? Jericho dropped him on his head a couple weeks ago.
And Jericho dropped him on his head. He's 60. I don't know. He's 59, I should say. I don't want to age him. But can he do anything? I don't know. I don't know what his condition is.
Okay. This is one that came to my mind, but I don't think it's happening. This guy was, I know he was a tag team champion. I don't think he was a world champion. What about Colt Cabana?
Oh, man, that'd be interesting, right?
I think it's too soon. It'll just create more.
Ignite things a little bit more.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem like Tony wants to do that, but I think that would pop the crowd like crazy, right? Because the crowd knows the story.
Jericho said any champion, so I'm wrong there. I was under the impression it was only world champions.
So Brian and Dave last night went over this, and it seems like the marketing has been world champion, but Jericho said any champion. So I think that's where the mix-up is it's trying to figure out, you know, is Jericho wrong or is the marketing wrong?
Maybe he meant like anybody, any of the champions. You know, it could have been one of those. But this list is interesting. I mean, they got mm-hmm. Matt Taven. You could do a Matt Taven thing. PCO.
I would PCO love to see
would
that.
Be crazy. Oh my gosh. But I don't want him as PCO. I want him as Carl Ouellette. I want him back. I want Carl Ouellette. I don't want PCO.
That would be hilarious.
You know what? He's only 54. Can you believe that? That man is only 54 years old.
So I was watching, I've been watching 97 and 98 Raw for the last 2 years for the Fight Game Media Patreon. And there's a moment where the Quebecers come back for like a month. And that dude is doing today's style of wrestling.
Yes.
Inside a WWF ring in those
matches.
Dude,
that match with Bret Hart, right? Remember that early match with Bret Hart? And that they used in the video, like in the opener for Raw? That match, I mean, those two were really, I mean, they were doing some crazy stuff, you know, going through the second rope. I mean, it was stuff that you really didn't see, especially guys like Bret Hart or, you know, Carl Ouellette, you know, you never saw these guys do this stuff. It'd be fantastic. I'd love to see him and Jericho. That'd be a wacky match.
It would be crazy. And my first thought was, would Jericho really want to do that? Because like it kind of puts him a little bit in danger. But then didn't this guy also wrestle Nick Gage on TV? So he's up for
national television. How nuts. Oh, man. I mean, I got to tell you though, that I was at work, right? I was at a dinner with clients, and I'm sitting at a bar and I'm watching it happen on TV.
Yeah.
And I'm looking, I'm like, oh, this is nuts. And I look at the guy next to me. He's like, what's nuts? I'm like, do you see what's happening on TV? He's like, what? I'm like, that guy's got a pizza cutter out. And he's like, dude, and everybody just stopped at the bar and we were just staring at it like lunatics. Like, what the hell's going on? Wild.
All right, let's get back to WWE here, because I wanted to talk about this Sami Zayn thing. It was the buzz around Twitter and all the places where people talk about wrestling on Friday night, because Sami Zayn broke Roman Reigns on live television. Now, yes. Were you laughing as much as everyone else was when they were watching? I didn't get to watch it until Sunday. There was something wrong with my Hulu, the Hulu version of SmackDown. Like, there's something going on with Hulu. Like, I can't find it, and then it's there, and then it was the FS1 thing. But I did finally watch it. What did you think of that whole thing?
Oh, I thought that opener was, just so good. I was not for Sammy being involved with them. Right. I really wasn't. I thought it was going to make it into a comedy thing. And I thought them being so serious worked. But I was dead wrong. I'll be the first to say Sammy is so good. He's so talented. I would imagine everybody's loving it. But, you know, it works. The whole thing is working. You know, the deception within the whole crew there. I didn't expect it to work this well with Sammy, and it's far surpassed all my expectations.
Like, who gets to formally make you an Oos? Like, at GCW show when Brian and Filthy Tom faced off against each other in that mixed tag.
Yeah.
Jacob Fatu was there in the back, and we were hanging out with him and just chit-chatting. And he kept calling me Oos, so I just figured like anybody could make anybody a Oos. He didn't even say honorary.
I took an ancestry test.
Calling me Oos. Okay.
I took an ancestry test. You know what I discovered? We're all the Rock's cousins. Every one of us on this planet. Everybody is the Rock's cousin. You could be a Oos. Everybody could be a Oos.
Yeah. But I guess Sammy is a little bit more fair skinned and he's got some red hair that makes him stand out as maybe not being an Oos, but now that Roman, you know, said that he may take the honorary off. That I guess that's where the fish out of so water good. Becomes the Uso, so good. which is really cool.
It's been so good. And you know what? I'm so happy for Sammy, right? It's so good to see him in a position like this, and it's working so well.
How long do you think they can run with this?
Will it get annoying? You know, I would imagine probably to the end of the year. Right, maybe something happens. Maybe something happens where he costs Roman the title, and then you lead to Roman, you know, kicking his ass, and then here comes Dwayne.
Interesting. That's an interesting way to build for that.
You can do that.
So here's my thought process in this entire thing was the reason, much like you, why I didn't know how far I wanted to see them go with this is because I'm always looking for what the out is. Like, what is the end game here? And as we know, Sami Zayn is not beating Roman Reigns for a title. So the fans are not going to get like the ultimate thing out of this. But you could have Sami and Kevin Owens beat Jay and Jimmy for the titles. And I think that would be good enough, right? But then how you get there is what's so intriguing. And I wonder if they have circled, maybe in pencil, as JR says, Kevin and Sammy versus the Usos at WrestleMania or something like that. Can you run this thing for another 5 months before you get to WrestleMania? That'd be interesting.
I think they can. I really think they can because they have something really special with this group. I know that they slowed down the Kevin Owens thing because he was going to get involved in this.
Yeah.
Early on. I mean, they were leading up to that. We all saw it on TV. So if you slow it down enough and you come up with something creative and now, you know, something happens at Rumble, Kevin Owens comes to his help, and now you set up a title match between those two at WrestleMania. They win the title at WrestleMania. What a great moment, you know, for those two, considering their past of murdering each other in every match that they've had. I think it's a great, it's an organic story that people will feel good about. You know, instead of feeling, I don't really want to see this. Like, I want to see Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn against, you know, the Usos. I would love to see that at WrestleMania. I think that would be an unbelievable match.
Yeah, absolutely. A, like you said, it would be a really good match. And B, you know, these are two of these are two of the most valuable guys that WWE has, who don't have to have a title attached to them, who don't have to be the world champion and still have value, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. And it's because there's so much trust from the fan base in those guys performing. Like, you know, when Kevin is in something, when Sami is in something, it's going to be good. It's going to be quality because those guys are so good at what they do. There's no sandbagging on segments when it's Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn.
You know what I got? I'll lay it out. Okay. Something happens. Something happens that it leads to Roman giving Sammy a match, right? Mm-hmm. To teach him a lesson. He didn't listen to the tribal chief, and now we have a match. It's a non-title match, and he's going to kick his ass, and the Usos, it's going to be like an initiation of sorts, right? He's beating him up. Somehow, Sammy does a roll-up, the most devastating move in professional wrestling, a schoolboy, 1, 2, 3, boom, 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 gets him, but the Usos cut him off, and beatdown starts, and here comes Kevin Owens for the save. That's my plan.
It could be as simple as that. Like, I don't really think they could go wrong here as long as they don't overthink it, because that's what's been great about it. The whole thing has been so simplistic. You just can't wait to see these guys together, and that's what's been so good about it.
Yeah.
Okay, so we had a women's tag title change last night. Alexa Bliss and Asuka beat Dakota Kai and Io Sky on Raw. I wonder because immediately I saw a lot of people on Twitter going, oh, you know, damage control. Gosh, I can't believe they beat him already. They haven't been successful. Ah, this is just Triple H being Vince. And I wonder if it was just to set up this match and the heels get their win back here on Crown Jewel. But Alexa Bliss and Asuka being the tag team champion, that's fine. They keep the feud going. I would think, though, that the heels, like, there's still some stuff there. I don't know why they would beat them now other than to have them get the belt back fairly quickly. But what did you think about that thing on Raw, the main event on Raw?
I don't know. I'm curious why they did the title change. I actually liked what they were doing with the tag title for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this leads to something else. I have no idea why they did the change. It felt like maybe it was to do something, you know, a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that was the reason. What do you think this is going to lead to something where maybe you don't want to beat if Naomi and Sasha are coming back, you know, we got Trinity and her to come back. Are you going to, maybe this is an easier title to put on, you know, they face them, they beat them, and then you set up something else between the young up and coming team and the person that never lost the title, really?
See, I think that would make me think what they did by putting the title on the baby faces. It would make me think that maybe Sasha and Naomi aren't coming back, because that's what I had hoped was going to be this big payoff with damage control, right? But maybe that's also a way for them to get us to think that they aren't coming back, and then they do come back. Well, I mean, whatever it is, I'm not going to put a fork in it and say, okay, like, I'm over, like, this, they did the wrong thing here. I mean, who knows what's going to happen still. They got the rematch on the pay-per-view this weekend, so we'll have to see where it goes. But I just saw a lot of real negative reaction to the babyfaces winning the title last night, so I was kind of interested if you had the same reaction.
Yeah, you know, big time. People were not happy about it. You know, they didn't want that title change to happen, which didn't bother me as much. I sometimes tend to just stand back and see what happens a little bit before I jump to, you know, an automatic reaction. Ah, that's terrible. You know, I want to give it like at least a week to see what they're planning.
Yeah, totally. All right, we got about, 12 minutes, 13 minutes before Lance gets mad at us and asks us to hurry up. Let's talk about this show. At what time does this show start in the morning this weekend?
Saturday show? For me, I think it's 1 o'clock.
Okay, so that'd be 10 o'clock for me then? Is it 10 or 9?
Yeah, but you know, I don't know if you saw the news.
Pre-show's at 9.
I don't know if you saw the news, but there is a terror threat against the U.S. and Saudi Arabia from Iran.
I did see something about that.
Yeah, so I don't know if that would play any kind of part. I'm speculating here, and I really shouldn't, but... You know, I just saw that pop up on my screen. So, I mean, that's another piece to add to this.
Yes, I did see that. I mean, I didn't read into it, but I did see that right before we went on air.
It's 1 p.m. Eastern.
Okay, so 10 a.m. for me. So it's like the morning with WWE for me. Breakfast with WWE. So, not to make light of the news that you just mentioned. Let's just talk about the show as if it's happening.
I'm sorry, and, I lied to you. Crown Jewel begins at 12 p.m. Eastern. The 12 p.m. show.
Nine. Yeah, so yeah, nine for me. Time. So, wow. Yeah. That is earlier. That's going to be coffee with WWE for me.
Love these shows.
Okay, so again, you know, I don't want to make light of the news you just mentioned, but let's just assume that the show happens or it's going to happen at some point. And let's just talk about it. I will, just as an aside here, I will be doing a post-game show, a post event show on YouTube, so on this YouTube F4W through the Fight Game podcast brand. And so originally, like, you and I had talked about doing something. I know you're busy, so instead I'm going to do it with the Fight Game podcast. No John LaRocca, because his internet sucks and he can't do trustworthy video, so I'll get somebody to join me on Saturday, and we're going to go up live right after the pay-per-views or the premium live event is over, and we'll do an hour of post-game, and then we'll also put it up in podcast. So you'll get two Fight Game podcasts this week. All right, let's talk about this show, because it is the only... Now, people are going to have their political views of this show, and I respect all of them. But one thing WWE does with this show is they take some chances with some main events, right? We've seen over the years, oh, they're going to bring back an old veteran who can barely walk, and they're going to have a terrible match, but they're drawing a little bit of a different live audience. They're trying to make the Prince happy with some of these matches. Logan Paul against Roman Reigns, in my opinion, does not happen unless it's on this show. Like, I don't think they would have put this match on if it was the Survivor Series, let's say. So that's one of the things that I kind of like about this show, is they just kind of take chances. We saw Brock Lesnar and Cain Velasquez, right? As bad as that was. But what do you think about Logan Paul? What do you think about Logan Paul in the main event of this show with the gimmick? And this is the part that I don't like about the build. He's got metal pins in his hands, which makes his punches stronger. And Roman cannot
Lex Luger
get
gimmick.
Hit in the face. That's exactly what it is, right? They're going back to 1993.
Yeah. Yeah, the Lex Luger, the foreign object in Lex's arm from that,
he
from
hit
that
the
crash.
Steel plates in his steel arm plate. From the motorcycle crash.
Bobby Heenan screaming, "That's a foreign object." You know? I'm intrigued to see what Logan Paul could do. I don't watch their content. I know a lot of people don't like them, but you know, they're kind of out of my age group of content consumption, you know. But I gotta say, I'm very impressed by him. He's committed to this. He's worked hard at this. I mean, both Paul brothers are becoming, you know, mega superstars in everything that they're doing right now. It's amazing, right? One of them started on Disney, right? Were they both on Disney?
I don't know how,
is that
they
how
started,
it started.
Actually.
Yeah, one of them. I think he started off with Disney, and I think Logan started doing Vines, and that kind of blew up.
I remember the Vine stuff.
But you know, like, Saudi Arabia is big on this. They have that Saudi Vision 2030 stuff that they're doing, where they want to make Saudi Arabia into a entertainment and destination capital, right, for tourism and events and things like that. They are very, I guess, progressive or a non-progressive country to get tourism in that country, because they know that that's going to be the lifespan of you know, evolving the country. Rather than becoming just a oil refiner, you're now expanding into arts and media and things like that, and kind of westernizes you a little bit. But I don't know if this match could have happened at Survivor Series. I think you have a good point there. I don't know. Under Vince, I don't think it would have happened, but he did a great job, man. He did great in every match that he's had. I haven't seen Logan Paul have a misstep yet, and that's something.
He's a good athlete.
He's a great athlete. Yeah, he's a very good athlete. He understands wrestling. Even in the ring, in talking to people that, you know, professional wrestlers, they're like, yeah, you know, he's not bad. Obviously, he's practicing the same thing over and over again. I don't know if he could call a match if something goes haywire and now Roman's like calling spots. I don't know how well he'll do in that. But, you know, it says something that they trust him enough to be in a ring with Roman Reigns, their world champion. And that, you know, I cannot see Triple H or anybody jeopardizing their cash cow.
Yeah.
By putting him in the ring of someone that's not really well trained. They believe that he's very well trained. And for Roman to take the match as well, it says that he trusts Logan Paul.
Yeah. What valuable Pokemon card is he going to come out with around his neck on this show?
Dude, I wish I kept all my brother's like Charizards and all of his Pokemon cards. I just called him. Do you know the market for Pokemon cards now, especially like that first generation of Pokemon cards? It's through the freaking roof. It is the new, like when we were growing up to get that Michael Jordan rookie card.
Uh-huh.
It was such a big deal for these kids now growing up to get a whatever. A hologram Charizard. That's the only one I know. I don't know any of them. I know Doug Trio. Right? I know Doug Trio. I know Charizard. I know Pikachu. That's about it. That's all I know.
My stepdaughter was Pikachu for Halloween.
It's still in. It's still big. So I don't know what he's going to have. But how much is that that Pokemon that he has?
I don't know.
$500,000 or something insane. I just
thought it was crazy. Walks around with... It's like he's... it's his version of a Rolex, right?
Hold on.
Uh-oh. Do I do the Dave thing? Where did you go? Remember, did you see that thing where Brian left the screen and Dave yelled at him? Michael Jordan cologne.
All right. So if he's going to walk around with a Pokemon around his neck, I could very easily walk around with a Dennis Rodman 1997 Chicago Bulls basketball card.
There you go.
Dude, how about this? This is a hologram. How about this Jordan? I could wear this Jordan around my neck.
Yeah, you need to put that thing in not in a plastic sheet. You need to put it in a better protector there, buddy.
I know. You know what? They're all worthless. They're all worthless, these cards.
No.
They're worth like $2 each.
If you go to eBay and look up Jordan hologram, it may be worth
$20 bucks
or something.
$20. Yeah.
But before you, the audio people didn't get to see that, but Andrew pulled out basically a binder of basketball cards. But what about the thing in the insert of the binder, the Michael Jordan cologne?
The Michael Jordan cologne. I still have the basketball that cologne came with.
Wow.
And we got it at Macy's. You got the Michael Jordan tote bag and you got the basketball if you bought the cologne.
Michael Jordan cologne, not the best smelling cologne for such a big product that it was when it came out. It reminded me of Proper 12. You just Conor McGregor's Proper 12. Have you ever had that?
I have. Yeah, I have.
Did you like it?
It was okay. Not my favorite, you know, but it was fine.
So John Moxley, he tells this joke. I've heard him say it to me, on a show I did with him and to other people, that he was at an airport and he was, you know, he saw the Proper 12. He's like, can I get a, you know, I'll get a shot of that. And he goes, you know, does anybody get it? Like, does anybody order it? And the bartender goes, yeah, once. Yeah, it's not a whiskey that you go back and back to, I guess.
It's not terrible, but it's no Pappy Van Winkle, I'll tell you that. It's not a Pappy. It's not even a Jameson, in my opinion. I'd rather stick to my standard Jameson if I'm doing shots.
All right, what other matches are you intrigued in? Brock Lesnar, Bobby Lashley, the rematch from the Royal Rumble. There's Usos versus the Brawling Brutes, which should be a fun match. Bianca and Bayley, Last Woman Standing. There's a cage match with Drew McIntyre and Karrion Kross. So some pretty interesting matches here. Is there any one that you kind of have your finger on, like, this is the one that I'm waiting for?
Yeah, I want to see Lesnar and Lashley, for sure. I'm excited for that. I the OC and the Judgment Day, I think that's pretty cool to see that happen. Maybe they do something interesting there. One thing that I'm curious about, and it's Karrion Kross and Drew McIntyre. You know, I don't think Karrion got over with the audience as much as I thought he would.
I think he's done,
coming
man.
Back.
Like, to me, the character is so dead. I can't.
But I don't.
I mean,
know why.
I get why they're pushing it. Like, I think they believe in it. But I just see the reaction he gets. I see the look on his face. The look on his face is, I know that I'm not where I need to be, and I'm not exactly sure how to get there. That's what I'm just watching this dude, and I feel bad for him because you know, when you're in that spot, when you're in that position, they have faith in you. And I don't know if it's even his fault that he's not delivering.
I don't think it
character.
Is. No. So I don't whatever think he's done anything wrong. Yeah, I it's whatever it is. Maybe it was too much at the same time. He came back. Braun Strowman came back. Bray Wyatt took a lot of that away from even Braun Strowman. Like, I have no interest in Strowman being back now. I think that kind of took it away. Gargano came back. So you got a lot of these fan favorites. Mm-hmm. Karrion was never tested on that main roster. It might have been better if you just put him on that, you know, had him go to NXT and do something in NXT and move Braun Breaker up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at least get Karrion settled in with the fan base again. I texted somebody over there and I didn't make a joke. I was like, what's going on there? He wrote, he should have never grew his effing hair back. That's what somebody wrote to me.
You know, like, but thing about it,
making a joke out of it, but yeah.
Well, I mean, it's true. He doesn't look as menacing with the hair. But the thing about it is they put the entire act back together. They took away the goofy Raw stuff. So this is kind of like a put up or shut up, right? They're like, now we've given you the whole package. Now there's really no excuses, I guess, in their mind. I'm just trying to think of how they may be looking at it. But anyways, yeah. So like I said, I will be back on Saturday. After that show is over, we'll have a live fight game podcast on YouTube, and then the audio will also be up later that Saturday. And then, yeah, you know, I think that's going to be it for us. What do you got for Matt Men on Friday?
We got we got some cool stuff we're going to talk about. I'm trying to do something different on the show. I want to bring back the what ifs at the end of the show. We used to do these what if segments, like what if this happened, what if that happened, and mm-hmm. it kind of ties into this little series that I'm doing with Matt Ryan that we're planning on doing, and it's. The idea is the butterfly effect, right? Mm-hmm. All these mega things have happened in the world of professional wrestling, but what were the things that happened and what was the outcome of those things? Bret Hart, obviously, great example for Sunday when we do Observer. Bret Hart, Montreal, 25 years ago. If Montreal never happened, what would have the, you know, WWE in 1999, 1998 look like?
Mm-hmm.
A very different company. So a lot of interesting stuff to go into. We're planning on doing that.
Oh, that sounds really cool. All right. So Andrew and I will be back next Tuesday. And you got Matt Man, you got Fight Game. Dave and I may be doing something. We're not sure. He's got some stuff going on Friday. But
don't mess up my Saturday shower schedule. That's the plan. I put you guys on and I go in the shower and I'm talking to you while I'm in the shower. I'm like, yeah, Garrett, I agree with you. Like, do you know how many times like Dave is like trying to remember something? I'm like, oh, it was whatever. Like, yeah, I'll scream it out loud. I'm having a full cut. Yeah. So it's a party in there. I'm telling you.
It's all on him. I'm ready. He's just got some interviews to do, I think. So, well, I'm hopeful because I love doing that show. But and we finally on video. We made it on video last week too. So
fantastic.
All right. For Andrew, I'm Double G. See you when we see you. Peace out.